Okay, so I want to talk tonight about a couple of issues. We're going to introduce some very, very important concepts when it comes to Bishul on Shabbos. The first thing I want to talk about is reheating food. Now, we're only going to talk about this partially, okay, because we're not ready to talk about it completely. So we'll introduce it tonight, and tonight's introduction will be very important for for the coming discussions when it comes to Bishul, and we'll have to come back to reheating food in maybe a week or two when we have more information and we can come back to it and understand it a little bit better. And the first question I want to raise really is, if you cook something, can you cook it again? Halachically speaking, I'm not talking about chemically, right? So for example, I cook a noodle, okay? And we discussed last week a little bit, or last week we did Purim, right? So we discussed 2 weeks ago, a little bit of what's considered cooking regarding solids and regarding liquids. So we discussed, regarding solids, it's pretty straightforward. You know, cooking is when it's cooked through. You know, that's when it's cooked through, it's edible, it's cooked through. That's considered cooking. When it comes to liquids, we said it has to reach a certain temperature, because liquids, there's no such thing as cooking through, right? To boil up water, there's no cooking through. So it has to reach a certain temperature, which we said was Yatzel Ledespo. Yatzel Ledespo, Rav Moshe says, to be Machmir, you have to assume that that 110 is considered Yatzel Ledespo. That's what we discussed. So now the question is, once I've cooked something already, can I recook it? So let's say I make myself a pot of noodles. Right? I make myself a pot of noodles. Now the noodles have been cooked. Okay, I made them on Friday. I cooked them, I strained them, I rinsed them off in cold water, and I stuck them in the fridge. Okay? And now they're cold. Can I take those noodles and throw them into boiling water on Shabbos?
What if that's already boiling?
Let's say it's already boiling, right? Let's say it's already boiling, without getting into any of the derabanan problems. I'm just talking about just bishul per se, cooking per se, right? Have I done anything wrong? So on the one hand, you could say, well, yeah, you're cooking on Shabbos. But on the other hand, you could make the argument, what do you mean you're cooking on Shabbos? These noodles are already cooked. So if I take something and throw it into, if I take a piece of paper and I crumple it up and I throw it into hot water, am I cooking the paper? You know, it's just because you're throwing something into hot water doesn't mean you're cooking it, right? It has to be that it's significantly changing. So here my noodles are already cooked, they're already changed. So now if I take those noodles and I throw them into boiling water, it's not going to, it might not make a difference. So that's the that's the question. So when it comes to a solid, let's deal with a solid first, like something like noodles. Comes to Shulchan Aruch in source number one and writes very simply that that you can cook it again. You can't cook, meaning you can't cook it twice. There's no such thing as cooking twice. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, Davar shenis bashel kol tzarko, v'hu yavesh she'ein bo marak. You have something that's fully cooked, right? It's fully cooked, like a noodle, imagine, right? You have a noodle, it's fully cooked through. And it's dry, right? There's no liquid. It's just a noodle, okay? You're allowed to quote unquote reheat it on Shabbos. Okay? The reason why he's talking like this, that you're putting it near the fire, is because there are certain like derabanans that we have to avoid, but we haven't learned about those yet. So don't worry about them for now. Okay? But the point is that you're allowed to reheat this this noodle. Okay? Vafilu mitzdanim kvar, the Rama adds, even if it's cold. Right? So that means I cook a pot of noodles before Shabbos, the example I gave, I stick them in my fridge, and now I take them out of my fridge on Shabbos, and I throw them, you can't really do this on Shabbos, but because of the derabbanans, but imagine, you could just throw them right into boiling water on Shabbos, they're not being cooked again. There's no such thing as cooking something twice. Once it's cooked, that's it. Okay? So this is what we call ein bishul achar bishul. That's the terminology that's used in halacha. Ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is cooked once, that's it. It's cooked. You can't re-cook it again. Okay? We're going to see that there might be certain problems reheating it on a derabbanan level, but certainly on a d'oraisa level, that's it. There's no problem. Right? Once it's cooked, it's cooked. Okay? That's ein bishul achar bishul. In source number two, the Mishnah Berurah adds that not only ein bishul achar bishul, but we say this regarding, and bishul, again, technically speaking, means to boil something, but we say this really regarding any cooking process. And we discussed in the beginning, there are several different cooking processes. You can boil something, you can bake something just in an oven, you can roast something, right, over an open flame, you can fry something, you know, there's many different ways of cooking. Regarding all of those ways, we say, ein bishul achar bishul, ein tzli achar tzli, ein afia achar afia. Once it's been done once, once the process has been done once, it cannot halachically speaking, be repeated. There's no such thing as repeating it. Which is why, if you have a challah, and you bake a challah, okay, and it's fully baked, right? The middle is not raw, right? It's a fully baked challah, okay? And you want to take that challah, and you want to heat it up in a permissible way, and we'll learn exactly, over the coming weeks, exactly how to do it. You heat up a challah in a permissible way, and the challah gets hot. You know, sometimes you put challah on top of a pot or something like that, it gets really hot. You know, it's steaming hot challah. It's hot. No problem. Why? Ein afiyah achar afiyah. There's no such thing as baking something twice. Once it's baked and it's completely baked through, that's it. You're good, right? You can't bake it again. Again, if the challah is only half baked and the middle is raw, and now you're heating it up and it's baking in the middle, so that might be a problem. But, you know, assuming that it's a fully baked item, a fully baked challah, there's no problem to reheat it. Okay.
It's the same thing as instant coffee and instant tea. Good.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Good, we're going to talk about that. Okay, so now, let's move for a minute to liquid. Let's move for a minute to liquid. Yeah.
There's always comes to the point on Shabbos, I remember.
Yeah.
Is there
like, okay, good. We're going to get there. You know what? Let's talk about that now. Good. Okay. Let's introduce this question again. We might have to come back to it a little bit later, but let's introduce the question. You know, this is Joe's question, but it's actually number three. I thought we were going to liquid, but we're actually going there first. Okay. This is really source number three. So what about the following? So we just said ein bishul achar bishul, ein afiyah achar afiyah. Right. You can't repeat the process twice. Can you do a different process to this item? So for example, can I take my challah, which was baked, and now throw it into boiling water? And now boil the challah. And again, you might say, who wants to boil challah? But I'm just speaking theoretically, right? Is that considered bishul? Putting it in your soup. Okay, now soup is a little bit complicated because we'll talk about it, because you know it's not in the pot anymore. We'll talk about all those variables, right? We'll talk about it, right? But, you know, can you do that? So I baked something. So now can I cook it? Can I boil it? Or let's say I boiled something. Can I now bake it? Or am I violating something? To repeat the same process again, boiling and then boiling again. That's what we say with the noodles. There's no such thing. You can't boil something twice. Right? Once it's cooked, it's boiled. That's it. There's no such thing as boiling it again. So I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. I'm not violating anything. But what about doing a different process? So here comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, it's machlokas. Yesh Misha Omer, in source number three, there are those that say, the davar shenefe o nitzle, that something that was baked or was roasted, im bishlo achar kach b'mashke, yesh bo mishum bishul. Some say that if it was baked or roasted, and now I boil it, I violated bishul. Even though I baked it previously, even though I roasted it previously, but now I'm doing a different process to this item, it's changing now significantly in a different way, and therefore, since I'm doing a different process, I violate bishul when I do that. And therefore, according to this opinion, the aser litain pas afilu bikli sheni shayatzal lespo. You can't put bread into your supo. You can't put bread into your kli sheni. Why? Because you're cooking it, right? The bread was previously baked, and now I'm putting it into hot water. So I'm boiling it in a sense. It's not a rolling boil. But I'm cooking it. So you can't, according to this opinion, you can't do that. And then he says, V'yesh matirin, some say it's okay. Because some say no. Once it's been cooked, I don't care how it's been cooked, you can't do the process again. I don't care what process it is. So it's a machlokas, right? Do we say that no, it's only when the same process is repeated, that's when it's okay. But if you go to a different process, such as baking and then boiling, baking and then cooking, that's problematic or no? Do we say no? Once something has some sort of cooking process done to it, that's it. You know, and now if you do any other cooking process, it's totally fine. So the Rama adds in some Ramatur in a Kli Sheni, some Ramatur even in a Kli Rishon. Comes the Rama at the end and says, V'nohagu lizar lechatchila shelo litein pasa filu b'kli sheni kolzman shayatza lenispo. He says, the Rama says, our minhag is that we're machmir, right? We don't do this, we're machmir. Now I'll talk about how we put things into a supo, right? Because that but he, really, according to what he's saying, it sounds like, right now, we'll get to how we can do it, maybe not this week, we'll see. But right now, it sounds like you can't put your challah into your soup, right? There's a way to do it. But right now, it sounds like you can't put your challah in your soup. Because challah was baked, now putting it into soup, which is hot, right? Not only challah, but what about the mandolin, right? The croutons, you know, those little yellow croutons that many people, you know, they eat the soup for the croutons. You know, they like the mandolin better.
They say, so what's fried?
Are those fried? I don't know how they're prepared.
They say
they're fried?
Yes. And that's what I was told.
Okay. So when it comes to frying, the tricky thing with frying is as follows. It depends how much oil was used to fry. If something is deep fried, that's the equivalent of boiling it. It's the same thing, right? If I boil something in hot oil or I boil something in water, that's exactly the same, right? I'm boiling it in a liquid. So it's hot oil, it's hot water, what's the difference? If it's just a little bit of oil, like, well, yeah, naturally, okay? If it's just a little bit of oil, like I'm sautéing something, right? Let's say I'm frying something, I'm sautéing, you know, I'm sautéing onions, I'm sautéing, you know, if you can sauté the mandolin, I don't know exactly how they prepare them, right? But if it's just a little bit of oil, just to kind of coat them, and you're frying it that way, so then that's a different process. That's not called boiling. It's different, right?
Is that considered roasting?
No, that's considered frying.
Tigun. No, so deep frying would be cooking.
Yeah. So if these croutons are deep fried, right, and that's how they're made. That's how they're manufactured. So then you can put them in your soup. It's the same thing. If they're just fried in just a little bit of oil or margarine or something like that, just to, you know, just to coat them a little bit, and that's how they get their crunch, but they're not really deep fried, so then that would actually be worse. I mean, you would make it worse because they were only fried and now you want to stick them into hot water. It's a different process. And according to the Rambah, where our minhag is lechatchila, we don't do a different process on Shabbos. Right? We're careful. We assume that it would be considered cooking and therefore we don't do it on Shabbos. So right now it sounds like you can't put your challah in your soup. We're going to learn and that there is a way to do it. Okay. So that's regarding Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul or Bishul Achar Afir or whatever the case might be. Now we've been talking about solids. Let's talk about liquids for a minute. Let's talk about liquids. By the way, if you're interested, no pressure, but there are source sheets if you're interested. I know some people like them, some people don't like to use them, whatever fits your fancy, but they are there. Okay. So let's talk about liquid. Now, the distinction, you know, what's the difference between a liquid and a solid? So when it comes to cooking, a liquid and a solid, they're very different, right? They're quite different because, as we mentioned, a solid, once it's cooked through, it's cooked through. You know, you imagine, right? You cook a noodle. So you cook a noodle, it cooks through the noodle. The noodle is now soft, it's cooked through. That's it. I can't cook it through again. I can maybe warm it up, I can reheat it, but I can't cook it through. Once it's cooked, right? When it comes to a liquid, again, what's cooking a liquid? Raising it to a certain temperature. That's what cooking a liquid is. So once I raise a liquid to a certain temperature and now it cools down, if I then raise it again to that temperature, maybe I'm recooking the liquid. So maybe when it comes to a liquid, we would say, well, liquid is totally different. Maybe we would say, yesh bishul achar bishul. That just because I boiled up water once, but now it cooled down, now I can't boil it up again on Shabbos. Maybe that would be a distinction. Maybe that would be different than a solid. And comes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, really the Ramah. And the Ramah adds, Avali Miroseach, afilu bedavar sheish bo marak muter. Okay? If it's hot, it's okay, obviously. The Yesh Mekilin. So he says, some are lenient. Lomar. The kol shein nos no agabe ha'esho akira mamish rak samuch lo afilu nitztanin muter. Some are lenient to say that you can reheat liquid on Shabbos. You can reheat liquid on Shabbos. Why? The same logic as a solid. Because once I cook it once, it's changed substantially. And now there's no such thing as changing it again. There's no such thing as cooking it again. I'm reheating it, but I'm not cooking it again. So that's why they're lenient. You can reheat liquids on Shabbos. However, even if they're cold, comes the Rambam and says, however, the nahagu lahakel bazeh im lo nitztanin legamrei. Comes the Rama and says, but since there are those opinions that are stringent, and there are those opinions that say that a liquid is totally different than a solid, and that when it comes to a liquid, just raising it to the temperature, that's cooking it. So if it cooled down and now I raise it again back to that hot temperature of, let's say, 110, I've just cooked it again. So because of that, the Rama says that we do not, once a liquid has completely cooled off, it's cooled, it's not even warm, it's cooled off, we do not reheat liquids on Shabbos. That's what the Ramah says. That's our minhag, okay? And that's why many of us know that this halacha is that's the halacha that stands, that we do not reheat liquids that have cooled down on Shabbos. So if you have a saucy chicken, right, and now you put it in the fridge Friday night, and the pan is full of sauce, right, which is a liquid, you cannot then go and reheat that sauce and make the sauce hot again on Shabbos. Right? We don't reheat liquids. Why? Because it's considered, we say, yesh bishel achar bishel, and therefore we're careful not to do that. Sfardim, this is the Ramah talking. Sfardim, who don't follow the Ramah always, right? So they're much more lenient on Shabbos, because they follow the opinion that when it comes to liquids, we treat liquids the same as solids, pretty much. So therefore, you know, you can just like you can reheat a solid, I can reheat a liquid. So that's why Sfardim, right, even the most religious Sfardim, will take a pan of saucy chicken, and they'll put it right back on the blech in a permissible way, and they'll reheat that sauce on Shabbos, and that's okay. I think some Sfardim, you know, might not take like a whole pot of soup and reheat it, right? Which is why, by the way, we don't have soup on Shabbos day. You know, unless you keep it on the crock pot or something like that. But we don't reheat soup on Shabbos day. You know, Yom Tov, you can reheat soup if you want. But not on Shabbos. But Sfardim, I don't know, many Sfardim don't go as far to say as, you know, you can just boil up a whole pot of soup. But they'll say that if you have a chicken with some sauce, you know, they're not worried about that sauce. They're not worried about that liquid. But Ashkenazim are careful not to do it on Shabbos. Yeah. Right.
So could you rely on because it's the Rambam, I think.
Right.
So it's the Rambam, he's a known posek, so you could rely b'di'evet on him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I would say yes, because, first of all, forget about the fact that it's the Rambam, but, I mean, the Rambam himself brings both opinions, right? The Rambam himself brings the opinion that's Mekel. And he says, you know, he says some are more lenient, some are more stringent. And he comes out, he says, our minhag is to be lenient as long as it didn't cool down fully. But it is a chumrah. You know, we'll see later when we get to it, there's another topic where Rav Moshe Feinstein actually uses this. And he says, listen, he says, in the end of the day, it's a machlokes. So we're machmir, you know, we go like with this Ramah, we're machmir, we're strict about it. But it's a machlokes, and there are those opinions that disagree. I would say in a case of Bidyavid, where you took out the wrong pan and it got heated by accident, I would say you could eat that. Yeah.
I mean, there was an interesting case we had up in the country. Before Friday night doing nothing. Black goes off.
Right.
Goes off. Right. You know, but that might have been cooked, you know, halfway for
Mahoban. So that's more complicated, right?
Coffee, you know, where you need your water. That desperation. Right. People need coffee, so.
Right.
You know, we were asking questions. You know, could you rely on just the Mahoban says?
Right.
So, I think some rabbi came and made a psak that you're allowed to use the coffee because they turned it back on.
And once it was done. Okay, yeah. So yeah. So generally Ashkenazim are strict not to reheat liquids on Shabbos. Of course, by the way, you know, I'm not talking about the small amount of moisture that's in every food, right? I mean any even chicken cutlets that you heat up are gonna have a little bit of moisture on them, that's fine. But what I'm talking about substantial, you know, substantial liquid or sauce that's in a pan, that's what we're talking about.
If you had the sauce chicken.
So if you want that chicken, yeah, the best thing to do is take the chicken out of the sauce, put it in a different pan, and reheat it like that. Then that's fine. And, you know, a little bit of sauce on the top, just a drop, is fine. That's not a problem. But we're talking about when there's a substantial amount of sauce. That's what we're worried about. Now, by the way, it's clear from the Ramah that if the liquid has not cooled down completely, if it's still warm, okay. Now again, it's hard to give an exact number of degrees, but it's clear in the Ramah that if the liquid is still warm, then even he agrees that you can reheat that on Shabbos. Okay? Now again, when it comes to a saucy chicken, that's not usually the case because, you know, if you use it Friday night, you stuck it in the fridge, it's gonna be cold Shabbos morning. But theoretically, if you had a liquid that cooled down a little bit, but it's still warm, even the Ramah would agree that you can heat that up again to yatsa lettuce or beyond, and then you would say ein bishel achar bishel in that kind of a case. Okay. So that's regarding the halachas of ein bishel achar bishel, yesh bishel achar bishel. Again, Ashkenazim are more strict when it comes to liquid. We're more lenient when it comes to solids. This is very important for the rest of basically bishel on Shabbos, and we'll have to keep this in mind as we proceed. Now, as we go through the rest of the discussion, much of the remaining discussion about bishel b'Shabbos revolves around different types of utensils. Okay, and this is crucially important as we're talking about soups and we're talking about coffee and tea. Crucially, crucially important to prepare all of these things in the proper way. Okay, and it starts as follows. If you think about, imagine you're making a cup of tea. Okay, so there are several different kalim, several different utensils that go into making a cup of tea. So on the one hand, you have the pot in which the water was heated up. let's say in our cases, usually it's an urn or it's a kettle, you know, that you leave on the blech or something like that. Okay? That urn or that kettle in which the water was cooked, that's called a kli rishon. That's called the first utensil, the first vessel, kli rishon. Okay? A pot of soup, kli rishon. Right? Urn, kli rishon, kettle, kli rishon. Anything that in which the item was cooked is a kli rishon. A boiler, by the way, in your basement, right, or wherever your boiler is located, the boiler which heats up the hot water in your house, assuming that you have a conventional boiler, that's a kli rishon. Okay, and it's actually important for certain halachos, but that's a kli rishon. It's a boiler, right? It heats up the water. So many things in which the food was cooked, that's a kli rishon. The crock pot, right, in which you cook your chalent, is a kli rishon. Okay, what's a kli sheni? Kli sheni is the second utensil that you're using. So when I take my urn and I pour the water from the spigot into my mug, right? Here we go. That's one of the reasons I brought this. So my mug now, this is a kli sheni, right? The mug is now a kli sheni, okay? The urn was a kli rishon, water goes into the mug is a kli sheni. If I have a kettle and I pour it from the kettle, kli sheni. There's an interesting discussion about pipes and things like that, because I mentioned the boiler is a kli rishon. So what happens now, it travels through the pipes in my house, the hot water comes from the boiler, comes through the pipes and comes into my, out of my sink, in my kitchen, right? So what's that water? Is that water coming out of a kli rishon? Or maybe it's coming out of a kli sheni? Maybe the pipes are a kli sheni? It's an interesting discussion. It's a little bit complicated, but it's an interesting discussion. What's that? Is it, what, you know, how do you look at the pipes? Are they kalim? You know, sometimes pipes are kalim, sometimes they're not, depending on the situation. But soup bowls, let's assume for a minute, soup bowls, without getting too complicated with ladles, I know some, you know, let's forget about a ladle for a second, because ladles complicate things. But imagine you would take your soup bowl, your pot of soup, and while your wife is not looking, you pour it straight into the bowl, okay? So if you do, imagine for a second if you did that, so your soup pot is your kli rishon, obviously, okay? And the bowl is your kli sheni. Bowl is your kli sheni, okay? The major distinction is the kli rishon is the kli, the vessel in which it was cooked, the utensil in which it was cooked. Kli sheni is the secondary utensil into which it's transferred. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and writes in source number 5, kli rishon, right? Perusha kli shemishtamish ba'ala esh, right? That's the kli that you're using on the fire. That's what's cooking the food. Afilu la'achar shehevi ruhu me'al ha'esh mevashel. Even once you remove that kli rishon from the fire, it's off the fire now. I take my pot of soup and I move it onto my counter. Okay, I take the pot, I take my my kettle, and I move it off the fire. That kettle, that pot of soup, can still cook, halachically. Halachically speaking, it can still cook, even though it's off the fire. Kol zman sheyatzel letesbo, as long as it's 110 degrees, it's yatzel letesbo, that pot of soup, that kettle can still cook. Lefichach asur litein l'selcho tavlin. And therefore, you're not allowed to put anything into that pot when it's hot. Okay, you can't put any spices. So when it comes to a pot of soup, you take the pot off the fire, right? You know, Friday night, you want to serve your soup. So you take the pot off the fire, you put it down on the counter, you know, you taste the soup, oy vey, right? It's bland. So I want to add in salt, I want to add in some pepper, I want to add in some spices. You can't do it. You can't put it into the pot. Because the pot is a kli rishon, the pot is hot, it's yatzel letesbo. A yatzel letesbo kli rishon cooks, halachically speaking, even if it's off the fire. So you can't put anything into that pot. You can't put a raw carrot in there. You can't put anything into that pot. The only thing that you can put into a kli rishon, a hot kli rishon, right, if it's off the fire, the only thing you can put in, what?
Water.
You can't put in cold water. Hot water you can put in. You can put in hot water, right, because hot water is already hot, so it's not cooking, right? You can put in things that were previously cooked because of ein bishul achar bishul.
Chicken.
You can put in chicken that was already cooked, even if it cooled down. Right? Let's say you cook chicken before Shabbos, and now it's cold, it's in the fridge. But it's cooked, fully cooked, right? Not liquidy, not saucy. You can take that chicken, plunk it right into your soup. Noodles that were already cooked, right? Ein bishul achar bishul. You can take noodles that were already fully cooked before Shabbos, even if they cool down already, okay, they're cold. You can take those noodles, put them into your pot of soup. Now, most people are not putting these things into a pot of soup, but theoretically you could, okay? A matzah ball. Right? A matzah ball that you cooked before Shabbos, okay, and matzah balls usually are boiled in liquid, sometimes in the soup, sometimes separately, you know, but you cook the matzah balls before Shabbos, And even if you took the matzo balls out and you put them in the fridge and they're dry, you know, some people like them, like, you know, the hardest rock matzo balls. They're dry and that's it. You can put them back into the soup pot, even though it's a kli rishon and it's hot, because ein b'shalach rishon. So that's the one exception. Solid, dry items that were already previously cooked, you can put those back into a kli rishon, because halachically speaking, you can't cook them again. Ein b'shalach rishon. So you're allowed to put them in. Yeah.
You could put salt in, but salt actually...
Okay, so it depends on the type of salt. Okay, now first of all, not all salt has been cooked. Okay, it's a good question. As far as I know, not all salt is cooked beforehand. Sea salt obviously is, because that's how they extract it from the water, right? If you have sea salt, so the sea salt is extracted by boiling the water. The water boils out, and you're left with the salt. I don't know about other types of salt, you know, mine salt and things like that. I'm not familiar with the process. Excuse me?
It's pasteurized.
Is it? Maybe. Okay. So if it's cooked beforehand, the only problem is as follows. Okay. I was going to hold off on this, but I'll say it now. The only problem is as follows. There is a question. I'm trying to think if I have this down on the sheet. Yeah, I have it a little bit later. There's a question. Here, you know what? Skip to number 9 for a second. I have it later at number 9. Since Stewie raised it. So we'll do it now. So the question is as follows. If I have something soluble, okay, I have something like salt, sugar, that when I put it into a liquid, stir it up, and it dissolves. It dissolves into the liquid, okay? Do you consider that a solid, or do you consider that a liquid? Okay, so some people would say, well, you look at it, salt is a solid, right? Sugar, it's a solid. But others claim, well, one second, but when I take it and I dissolve it into a solid, if I take a piece of chicken and I put it into my soup, I can stir from today till tomorrow. It's not going to dissolve into the soup, right? But if I have sugar, if I have salt, and I put it into my soup and I mix it, it's going to dissolve. So some say that since it dissolves in the water, it's considered a liquid. It's considered a liquid. Okay? So let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Look at the Mishnah Berurah in Source number 9. Melach she'osin mimayim she'mevashlim osam. If you have salt, sea salt, right, that you make from water that's cooked, right? So you cook the water out, now you're left with the sea salt. Ein bo mishum bishul, l'kulei ama. There's no problem of cooking that again, right? No problem to cook that salt again. De ein bishul lachar bishul, right? Ein bishul lachar bishul, like you just said. Salt is previously cooked, so now, halachically speaking, I can cook it again on Shabbos, no problem. V'chein b'tzucker, right, which is sugar. Mutter mehai taima, no b'kli rishon, l'achar shevirumi en minayish. And he says, and so too sugar, right? Once, even in a kli rishon, once you remove it from the fire, you can put that sugar into a kli rishon because of ein bishal achar bishal, exactly as Stewie said. However, comes the Mishnah Berurah, v'yesh emefakfikin bozeh, but some are not so happy about this. Some are not so happy about this. Okay? What's the machlokes? The machlokes is, how do we view soluble items? Soluble solids, right? Do we view them as solids or do we view them as liquids? Now, what's the difference? The difference is we just said that when it comes to solids, we say ein bishul achar bishul. Once it's cooked once, you can cook it again, no problem, right? But when it comes to liquids, at least for Ashkenazim, we are stringent. We don't reheat liquids. We don't cook liquids again on Shabbos. So if you're going to view the sugar or the salt as a liquid, it's a liquid that cooled down. A liquid that cooled down, we can't reheat on Shabbos. So that's why some disagree with this, and writes the Mishnah Berurah concludes. V'tov li zaher mikli rishon lechatchila. It's better not to put it into a kli rishon lechatchila. Why? Because there is an opinion that's stringent, that treats them as a liquid. So because of that, we generally do not put any of these soluble things, salt and the spices, anything like that, that even if it's soluble, we don't put it into a kli rishon because of this opinion that treats it as potentially as a liquid because it dissolves into the liquid. Okay? So when it comes to a kli rishon, right, chicken soup, the pot of chicken soup, the only thing that you can put into chicken soup are solid, dry items that were previously cooked, even if they cool down. That's the only thing you can put in. Matzo balls, noodles, whatever, chicken, whatever the case is. Solid, dry items that were previously cooked, you can put those into a kli rishon, into the soup pot. Anything else, we don't put into the soup pot, even if it's off the fire, as long as it's yatzo lettuce, but we don't put anything else in. Okay? That's when it comes to a kli rishon. Um, Okay. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah just points out, I'm not going to read it inside, in source number 6, but he just points out, obviously, once the Kli Rishon dips below Yatzo Ledesbo. So let's say your pot of chicken soup is sitting on the counter for an hour or two, and now it's cooled down, it's no longer 110, it's, you know, maybe 80 degrees, so it's still a little bit warm, but it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, so then it can't cook anymore. Right? If you have a liquid that's not Yatzo Ledesbo, that can't do any cooking. So then, you know, you don't have any of these problems. You could pretty much put anything into there because it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, so you're okay. Okay, so that's the nature of a Kli Rishon. Yeah.
Another solution is simply to transfer from the Kli Rishon to the Kli Sheni.
Correct. Good. Okay. So good. Yeah. So we're gonna get to Kli Sheni now. Okay. Fine. Another important thing, and this is kind of what Joe mentioned before. I'll just mention it. It's source number 7, but again, I'll mention it outside. Joe mentioned also that you can't put water, cold water. You can't put cold water into a Kli Rishon. So let's say your chicken soup is very strong. Okay, and you want to dilute it a little bit. So if you put hot water in, that's one thing, that's fine. Right? Because the hot water is hot, so it's no problem. But if it's cold water, you can't put the cold water into your Kli Rishon because it's cooking the cold water. Okay? By the way, this is the reason why you cannot use hot water from the tap on Shabbos. Right? Why can't I use hot water from my tap on Shabbos? Okay? So the reason why you can't use hot water from your tap on Shabbos is because when you open the tap and hot water comes out of your tap, what happens in your boiler? Cold water then comes into your boiler to replace that water that the boiler lost. Cold water comes in, and the boiler cooks up the cold water. Okay? So in essence, what you're doing by using the hot water tap is you are cooking cold water. Right? You have a little bit of cold water that comes in, and it's cooked in the boiler. So that's why you're not allowed to use your hot water tap on Shabbos. Now, what people don't realize, many people don't realize, is that let's say you accidentally turn on the hot water tap on Shabbos. You can't turn it off. Okay, you can't turn it off. Why? Why can't you turn it off? Because once you open the hot water tap, okay, well, you did it already. I did it by accident, right? So you didn't violate Shabbos if you did it by accident, okay? But now, if I close it, so what's going to happen? Whatever cold water that went in there is going to get stuck and it's going to boil. What's going to happen if I leave my hot water tap and I don't touch it? What happens? After a little while, or maybe a long while, right, the boiler's gonna empty. The boiler's gonna drain out, okay, and the boiler's not gonna be able to keep up if the hot water's running and running and running, you know, the water cools down. The boiler's not gonna be able to keep up, so it will not end up cooking that water if you leave it running. So essentially, by closing the tap that you've opened accidentally, what you're doing is you're trapping the cold water inside the boiler and enabling the boiler to heat up the cold water. So it's a problem. You could do that, yeah. If you know how to do that, you know, I'm not suggesting that you tamper with your boiler before Shabbos, but if you know how to shut off the intake, if you know how to do that, how to shut off the intake so that, you know, no cold water comes into your boiler on Shabbos, theoretically you can then use it, right? I mean, if you set aside a hot a basin full of hot water before Shabbos, you can use that water on Shabbos. Instant
hot
works? I don't know. I'm not sure. Instant hot. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar enough with the mechanism. Yeah, but that's so theoretically you might be able to get around it if you can do that, or even if you would, let's say, shut off the boiler. Right? Let's say you shut off your boiler. You know, so it's still going to be hot. I mean, there's how many gallons in a boiler? I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of gallons in your boiler. So you'll still have hot water for a while. You know, even if you shut off your boiler. So if you want to use hot water Friday night, you want to shut off your... Again, I'm not recommending this because, you know, you get involved with the pilot lights and the gas line. You know, I don't want to... You know, just make sure you know what you're doing if you're going to do these things. But technically speaking, you could do it. You know, that's why I also wanted... Yeah.
But I heard that if you live in an apartment building and you can use it,
right,
as long as not everybody is Shomer Shabbos.
Right. I wouldn't say you can use it. I wouldn't say you can use it lechatchila because it's not... You're not going to know when exactly, you know, where exactly and how exactly everything is moving. It might depend on which apartment you're in, you know, how close your apartment is to the boiler. You know, it's a lot of different factors. I wouldn't recommend using it. What they do say is that if you're in a big building, and if you're in a big apartment building and you accidentally turn on the hot water and you remember right away, you can shut it off quickly. Because then you're not, you know, there's so much going on there and your chances are you're so far from the boiler that it's probably not going to affect too much if you just remember right away. But in a house where everything is much closer together, you know, you don't have that luxury. The Eitzah, by the way, the thing to do if that happens is to ask a non-Jew, right? So if the mailman comes by, ask the mailman to shut off the hot water. Or if you have a friendly neighbor who's your local Shabbos guy, you know, you can call your neighbor in to shut off the hot water. In my house, usually when it happens, usually a kid turns it on, and then another kid turns it off. So that's usually what happens. You know, I just don't say anything. I wouldn't ask him to shut it off, but sometimes that's what happens. You know, a kid's like, oh, the water's on. You know, it just shuts it off. So so that's sometimes what happens in my, you know, I try to, the older kids, I try to train. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. But, yeah, listen, you know. But that's an interesting halacha. By the way, in many kitchens, you know, you have the faucet. It's not, you know, it's not like in many bathrooms, you have hot and cold. So it's easier to control. In many kitchens, you just have one, you have one control. So it just depends if it's the right or the left. You know, so I always get nervous whenever I'm near a kitchen, you know, whenever I'm near a sink, you know, if it's my own sink, so I know which way is cold. So it's easy for me. I just, you know, immediately put it all the way to the right and that's cold. You know, when I go to someone else's house, I usually ask them, you know, which way is cold? You know, I don't want to, you know, and then I put it all the way to that side. But I had a rav at one point who recommended that before Shabbos, you should shut off the hot water valve from underneath your sink. You know, because otherwise, you know, you might make a mistake and you might go to the hot water. So this way, if you shut off the hot water valve underneath your sink, so then you're, you know, there's no chance of any hot water coming in, so then you're okay. Again, you know, you have to know what you're doing and don't you know, break your pipes. But theoretically, that is a possibility. Yeah?
What if you had some electronic device that would automatically turn the hot water on and off at specified times so that you're not touching the faucet?
You're saying you set like a timer to do it?
I don't know such a...
Right. Yeah, I mean...
But if it exists...
It's an interesting concept. We generally try not to set timers to do malacha for us on Shabbos. I mean, you know, we will set a timer for the light to go on. We'll set a timer for the, for sometimes, you know, people want to set the hot plate to go on or the hot plate to go off or things like that. Some people are not so happy about that. You know, for the hot water to go on and off, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it.
Concept.
Yeah, I have to think about it. I don't know if it exists, but you can invent it.
I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
But all right.
Yet. Now, the one interesting thing is we have our Kli Rishon, right? So imagine you have your kettle, okay? Now, if you pour it from your kettle into your mug, so we said the kettle is the Kli Rishon and the mug is the Kli Sheni. How do you judge the pouring, okay? How do you judge the pouring, okay? Which means as follows. If I put something into a Kli Rishon, so I'm putting it into a Kli Rishon. If I put something into a Kli Sheni, I'm putting it into a Kli Sheni. But let's say I have water from a Kli Rishon that's coming and directly hitting the item. It's not that I'm putting something into my mug of hot water, which is a Kli Sheni, right? Let's say the mug is empty, okay? The best example is instant coffee, right? How do most people make instant coffee, usually during the week? You take your coffee, right? Many people, I would say most people, I would venture to say, put the coffee into the mug first, and then you take your mug, you put it under the spigot, and you fill it with water, okay? So in halacha, that's called Irui Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon, pouring. The language of Iroi means to pour, pouring from a Kli Rishon. Because you're not putting the instant coffee into a Kli Sheni full of hot water. You're pouring from the Kli Rishon directly onto the item. Directly onto the, in this case, onto the coffee or onto whatever else, you know, whatever other item. How do we treat Iroi Kli Rishon? How do we treat Iroi Kli Rishon? So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 10, that we don't do this on Shabbos, right? You don't pour, you don't do Iroi Kli Rishon on Shabbos. If you look at number 10, just a one-liner, Asur Litein Tavlin B'Kairo V'Laros Aleihen Mikli Rishon. We don't do that on Shabbos. Why? Because we consider that a Kli Rishon cooks on Shabbos, right? The Iroi Kli Rishon, the stream from the Kli Rishon can cook on Shabbos. Okay, so therefore we don't pour things directly from a Kli Rishon directly onto a food item on Shabbos because that can cook it. In halacha, it might only cook a kedei klipa, which means it might only cook the outer layer of the item. You know, for those who know a little bit about Yoredeya, but when it comes to Shabbos, it doesn't really make a difference how much of the item you're cooking. If you're cooking it, you're cooking it. So you violate bishul on Shabbos. So that's why we don't pour directly from a Kli Rishon. So we'll talk about the way to actually make instant coffee on Shabbos is not to put the instant coffee in first and then pour into it from the Kli Rishon, but actually pour the water in first. Now I have a Kli Sheni full of hot water, and then you put your instant coffee in then you're okay. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, a little bit more in detail.
What I don't understand is the instant coffee and the instant tea are pre-cooked.
Okay, so we'll, yes, okay, so we'll
manufacture.
Right, but if you remember, we mentioned a couple minutes ago that even though they're pre-cooked, but they're soluble. So we said there's a machlokus when it comes to soluble items. Some treat them as a liquid. If it's a liquid, if you have cold water, let's say I have a little bit of cold water in my mug, can I pour from the kli rishon into that cold water? I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos, right? Because then I'm cooking the cold water. So some treat instant coffee, instant tea, things like that, as previously cooked liquids on Shabbos because they're soluble, and therefore you can't reheat them on Shabbos. Okay, that's what some say about
the... It's really like a third category. It was liquid at one time, then it became solid.
Correct, and now and it can dissolve. Yes, right.
So it's like it's liquid or solid.
Correct. Well, that's why it's a machlokas. Yeah. That's why there's a machlokas. How to treat it? Do we treat it as a liquid or treat it as a solid? Yeah.
We make like a kli shlishi, pour it into something, and then pour that something.
For what? For instant coffee?
Yeah.
You don't need to. We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about instant coffee a little bit more next week. I mean, I'll just mention briefly because we're here. But you don't need a kli shlishi for instant coffee. People think you do. You don't need one. Once you have a kli sheni, once you have a kli sheni, right? See, everybody thinks I'm so strict. You know, I have coolers also. Okay. Once you have a kli sheni, right? Once you have a kli sheni, so now the kli sheni, you can put the instant coffee directly into the kli sheni. We'll talk about conceptually a little bit more next week. We don't have time to go through it right now.
You have to put the water in first.
Yeah. Put the water in first to the mug. I put your water in first. Now I have a hot kli sheni. Then you put the instant coffee right in there. Okay? And the sugar and the milk. And we'll talk more about a kli sheni next week. I thought we would get to it this week, but we're running out of time. So we'll talk more about it next week. The last question I want to talk about, just in the last minute or two. Last question I want to talk about, a very fascinating question. So we just mentioned that you can't pour from a kli rishon, you know, directly onto anything. You can't pour it onto instant coffee. You shouldn't pour it directly on, you know, into cold water, because it'll cook the cold water, right? So what about this? I have a cup of tea, right? I make my tea in the permissible way, which we'll talk about. Again, we'll talk about that, you know, maybe next week. But I make my tea in a permissible way, okay? Now, I want doubles. I want a second cup of tea, right? The problem is, my second cup of tea, when I want a second cup of tea, chances are that cup is going to have some residual liquid left in that cup, some drops of water. And those drops are going to be cold, right? Because when you just have a few drops of water, they cool down very quickly. So I'm going to be filling up my mug, refilling my mug from the urn, okay? But I have some drops of cold water in there. So when I'm refilling the urn, I'm refilling the cup from the urn, I'm cooking those drops of water. So how am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're not allowed to. You have to dry out your mug before refilling it. You got to dry out your mug. Because if you don't dry out your mug, you're going to have drops of cold water. You pour in the hot water from the urn. That's Eroi Kli Rishon. You're cooking those drops of water. So Rav Moshe says, if you're refilling your mug, you have to make sure it's dry beforehand. Right? Now, most of us, I'm sure, don't do that. Okay? Myself included, I don't dry it out. And I'll explain to you why. Because there's another opinion, the Mishnah Halachas from Menashe Klein, who explains that that's not bishul. That's not bishul. I mean, right, he says, we're talking about little drops of water here. You're not intending to cook them. It's not the derech bishul, right? You know, for all you care, you know, you don't really care about them. You know, the cup could be empty for all you care. It doesn't, they don't matter to you. So the Rav Moshe Klein says, that's not considered bishul. Those few drops that are left that you don't care about, and you're not intending for those, that's not a problem. Right, and he says that I've seen many, many Rabbanim throughout the generations, and they all refill their cups, and I've never seen anyone, you know, dry out his cup beforehand. You know, I've never seen anybody worry about this, Rav Menashe Klein says. And therefore, he says it's totally not a problem. He says it's davar miyutu, it's a small amount, and it's batli legamri miyad. They're immediately subsumed by the hot water, and it's not bishul, it's not derech bishul. He says it's not a problem. This is not a problem of bishul. So what I would recommend, which is based on the psak that I received from my Rav, is that what you should do is just give it a shake beforehand. Now you give your mug a shake out in the sink beforehand, just to make sure that there's no substantial, you know, water in there. We're not talking about substantial water. Substantial water is problematic. But if you shake it out beforehand, there's no substantial water, So now, okay, the little drops, you know, little droplets that might be left, so that we can rely on Rav Menashe Klein and say that's not derech bishul, that's not considered bishul on Shabbos, and therefore you can refill your mug without actually taking the towel and drying it out. If you want to be machmir, you want to be machmir like Rav Moshe Feinstein, you have to actually dry out the mug beforehand. You know, hamachmir tavo alav bracha, you know, you certainly be blessed if you're machmir. But I think that you can also rely on Rav Menashe Klein, that as long as you give it a good shake beforehand and make sure there's no substantial liquid, then you can refill the mug. We'll stop here for tonight. We'll continue next week in Mitzvah Shem with some of the laws of the Kli Sheni. I'll take questions privately. Yeah. Just don't want to hold people too late.